And first in this hour, I want to talk about robots. And I don't know whether you noticed, but this week, Amazon announced Astro, which is said to be its first domestic robot, although on closer inspection, I'm not sure it's that much of a robot. But it'll be interesting to talk about the kind of technology behind it and where what robotics could do for us, is already doing for us, and where it might take us. I think it has huge implications for our lives and for society. There are predictions, of course, that robots will be doing a lot of these jobs where we've been saying who's going to do the jobs of making your coffee or sweeping up or whatever it might be. Maybe it will be a robot. And maybe there won't be enough jobs to go around. Maybe we have to raise money another way. Perhaps we'll all be on some kind of universal income. There are huge implications. So if you've got a view on that, or you've got a question about any of these aspects of technology, then you're welcome to join in. You can text, as ever, 84850. You can tweet at LBC. You can call 0345 6060 973. Whatever you'd like to talk about, we'll probably go back a little bit about Boris Johnson as well, and we'll be talking about e-scooters. But I want to talk about robots and technology, and who better to talk to than Fevzi Turkalp, the editor of GadgetDetective.com, who joins us now. Hello, Fevzi.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, robots. Tell us more about this Amazon one. As I say, it doesn't really convince me as a robot.
Yeah, so Amazon have announced Astro, a home robot, which will, we're told by Amazon, go to market in America before the end of this year. It will sell initially for $1,000, rising to $1,500 after the first production. So they're obviously trying to encourage people to be early adopters of this technology. There are no plans announced for it to come to the UK. And it's, if I think about it, took, I think, the Amazon Alexas a couple of years at least to leave America and come to the UK. I would say that this is an interesting novelty. It's a bit like a smart speaker on wheels, looks a bit like a small vacuum cleaner with a tablet strapped to it,
yeah,
and a camera on a telescopic pole. That's essentially what we're talking about. I'm sorry, but that's probably more than we can expect for $1,000.
So, and they make it look a bit like a robot if you put some eyes into the tablet bit on the top. It kind of looks like it's got a face.
Yeah, exactly. And it is. I mean, it is. The eyes are on the screen of the tablet and they animate and they kind of look cute. And combined with human beings' sort of tendency to anthropomorphize, so we start to give these bits of technology sort of human characteristics. People already talk to their smart speakers. They start to interact with them as if they were human, and particularly people who are lonely. Yeah, so people who don't have anyone to talk to, as they get the smart speakers, get a bit more conversational, a little bit less dumb. You know, we've already seen that elderly people and other people who are like stuck at home and don't have companionship. So these sorts of things could be companions as the software gets smarter, and having a face and being able to move is great. I noticed that it's got a beer holder on the back. You can put a couple of beers in it from the kitchen and it'll trundle over. It can't get them out the fridge itself,
well,
of course.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, from what I read of the description, I mean, that's about the only thing it does do is you can put a tin and it'll come over and deliver it to you.
I know, which is the sort of project that I was doing when I was 14 years old, trying to get something to go from A to B.
It's very impressive, really, is it?
No, not yet. I mean, I did think, the first thing I thought is, I wish they'd have included one of those robotic vacuum cleaners into the base of it, and then it could do something useful.
What Amazon, is it meant to do, then, apart from bring you a drink?
That's a very good question. Amazon have sort of made noises about it being a security robot and being able to check if you let the gas on, you know, on your oven or whatever. Well, you know, as vis-a-vis a security robot, if you're, you know, you can, because you can control it from when you're outside the house and make it look around the house. Well, you know, for that sort of money, you could put a set of high-definition cameras in every room and connect them to the internet and get a much better view of what's going on all the time. The other thing is, of course, that if you're that security-minded, you'll probably have a home alarm. And as soon as the robot starts trundling around, it's going to set the alarm off. If you happen to live on more than one floor, It can't go up and down stairs, rather like, you know, most Daleks.
Mm. Yeah.
And I'm not sure if it's even got that edge detection technology that robot vacuum cleaners have, because it could actually throw itself down the stairs. I'm not sure if it's got the technology built into it to prevent that. So that could be quite interesting, because, you know, who knows what it'll hit on the way down. So, you know, it's not meant to be. I mean, maybe Amazon will make noises about it being useful. I think it's a step towards getting us used to the idea. Just now, we're all used to having smart speakers in our homes, or at least a lot of us are. It's a step towards getting us used to having robotic entities in the house, you know, as consumer goods, effectively. And they will get smarter. They will get more capable, and the development will take place in two areas. One is the mechanical aspect, the robotics. You know, they will become more capable. That, you know, they might be, you know, bipedal or quadrupedal. We've seen companies like Boston Dynamics selling the Spot the dog robot. Yeah, where it's actually quite capable now. You know, it's been put into use, for example, in Singapore during COVID days to do various tasks such as enforce social distancing and literally barking at people if they get too close together.
I saw that. Yeah,
you know, and there was a point when they, you know, when people didn't know how to treat COVID patients, and the initial triage was being done, you know, by one of these robotic dogs with a camera on it and so forth, a bit like, you know, a robot that diffuses a bomb. You know, we send them into dangerous places. The other part of the equation, other than the dexterity, which is really important, is the artificial intelligence side of it. So, you know, the AI doesn't have to live in a robot. It could live in the fabric of your home, as it were, or in your car, or as a network. So you could have the sort of distributed AI that doesn't have to have physical form. But the challenge is there are lots of robots already, single-use robots. So we mentioned robotic vacuum cleaners, similar robotic lawnmowers. Your self-driving cars are effectively single-use robots. They do one task. What we haven't yet got and are still a long way away from are multi-purpose robots, something that would do what a domestic servant would do in your house, which is really where we're going with some of this stuff. So we're talking about companion, friend, domestic servant, PA. All
Kenny has just texted here saying, does it look like the paperclip from the early Microsoft days?
not particularly. It doesn't look particularly, but it looks like a vacuum. You know those vacuum cleaners that you get, the small cylinder ones with two large wheels on it? It looks a bit like that, and imagine literally it looks like it's got a tablet strapped a few inches above the base and telescopic. It does look a bit Heath Robinson to me.
Yeah, it does, but presumably that's the sort of cheap end of the market. Yeah. But you see, I saw this thing on YouTube recently, I'm sure you must have seen it, where it is it's a humanoid looking robot, and it's sort of doing somersaults and running like a human.
So that's the Atlas robot from Boston Dynamics. Yeah,
which is astonishing.
And if you haven't seen it, watch it dancing to Do You Love Me on YouTube. Just search Do You Love Me Atlas robot and you'll see it. It's enchanting, quite literally. But those things are very expensive at the moment, but that's normal. New tech is, you know, when flat screen television came out, they cost about the same as a family car, you know, and good robots will cost that sort of money, and they will get outdated quickly. So you don't necessarily want to be an early adopter. I think if you're interested in robotics, you know, get yourself a Raspberry Pi and you know, experiment yourself, because it's kind of fun. These things are fun, but not yet really useful. You know, if you wanted one of these, you could arguably have it, you know, keeping an eye on your loved one. But as I say, you know, we have tablets and cameras and stuff that we can do that with and speak to our loved ones on. So I'm not sure it's there yet. I think the other thing that I would say about all this technology, Clive, is privacy. So if you imagine these things will eventually be like domestic servants, they will be, and maybe even family members occasionally, you know, pets and companions, that sort of thing. But if you have someone working for you, you know, like a PA, for example, that PA would be expected to keep all your secrets. That PA might even be subject to a non-disclosure agreement, and certainly wouldn't want them blabbing about your personal life and, you know, your comings and goings and what's in your house and who you talk to and what you say and all the rest of it. Now, the problem with these robots is, in a sense, the technology is subsidized. You know, this is not cheap technology. And just like smart speakers, I always say if we didn't buy smart speakers, they'd have to give them to us because the value of the information they glean from them about us is far more valuable than the sort of £30 to £100.
Because they're often selling them very cheaply, aren't they?
Yeah, and there's a reason for that. They're loss leaders. They want every home to have them because they learn about us and human beings in general, and that's hugely valuable information. And also they want their proprietary technology to become the de facto standard. So Amazon is ahead of Google in this regard. And Siri well behind, because Siri, interestingly enough, which is Apple's smart assistant, is not as smart as the others. And the reason why it is not as smart as the others is because Apple do more to protect our privacy. And the more of our privacy that they protect, the less they learn about us and the less smart they are and the less useful they are. So what we need is a legal framework that starts with the basic tenet that our data is ours. Any data about us, our metadata, the data that we shed, the data of what's in our home, who we speak to, how we walk, what we look at, all the things that the likes of Facebook like to turn into money, and with their metaverse and owning Oculus Rift for the virtual reality helmets and all this, all of that should belong to us. It should be unlawful. Great, let them sell robots, but let them sell robots that protect our privacy, and the same with smart speakers.
Okay, well, I've got some more questions about that. We'll come back in a moment.
A robot?
Yes.
What are we going to do with a robot?
Well, Astro, follow me.
Hi, Grandma. I miss you.
I miss you too. Hey, you got the toy I sent.
Yeah, I love it. Astro, follow me.
Message from Steve. Remember to eat something green today, Dad.
Check.
Astro, let's dance.
What? Thank you. All right. I'm in.
Do it.
Yes, well, that was an attempt by Amazon to show you what Astro can do. I'm still not sure it's quite going to catch on yet, but as you said, Fevzi, it's something that is just getting us used to the idea.
Yeah.
Now, outside of the home, though, robots of one kind or another, are they already replacing us in jobs? And do you see that happening more and more?
Yeah, and I think AI, in fact, more than robots. So
right.
Robots being the a physical incarnation of AI. So we've already had robots sort of in manufacturing for a long time, and they've been sort of quite sophisticated robots, but they've augmented and replaced human workers in particular roles. I think what we will see now, and I do mean now, it's starting already, is the replacement of whole new tiers of work, and ones that maybe we weren't aware were prime for replacements. So we're talking about white collar jobs now. So, for example, solicitors, a lot of work of solicitors, because it's a rules-based system, can be replaced by robots. Even judges maybe more consistent and fairer than human beings, although there's the issue of, would you want to be judged by a robot? Similarly, things like surgeons, and that's something that's existed for a while. There's been something called the Da Vinci robot for a while, although that has been controlled by a human surgeon. But once the mechanics of it work, a robot that can perform surgery, then you need to sort out the intelligence side of it to make that happen. So, and of course, human drivers. I mean, why do you think the likes of, Uber and other minicab companies have invested so heavily in this technology? It's because they want to sack all the drivers and have taxis that drive themselves. In a sense, you can't blame them because their competitors will be doing this. And then if they don't, then their rides will cost twice as much, say, as that of a robot driver. And we will get to the point where these robots do these jobs better than human beings. So you know, in the future, if your medical insurance doesn't cover it, you might have to have a human surgeon.
Interesting.
Because you know, you can't afford a robot surgeon to do the surgery better than the human. And so all these different roles, accountancy, you know, professional jobs that you think of as requiring intelligence but are mainly rule-based, will be replaced. And then what it brings us to is the point is, if we reach the tipping point where so many jobs are replaced that there are too many people not earning an income, then the question is, how will those people survive and how will they consume and buy the services of the companies using the robotic staff? And the answer to that, and they've been experimenting this with in some Scandinavian countries, is a wage for everybody, for existing, not job seekers' allowance or wage, but everyone gets a basic wage that they can then subsist upon and buy those services. And those wages need to be paid for out of the taxes of the companies who save money by employing.
Well, exactly. If, funnily enough, I'm reading a book at the moment by Ian McEwan called Machines Like Us. And I don't know what happens in the end, so don't tell me. But it sort of imagines a future with robots. In fact, a different timeline where we've already got artificial intelligence and they look like humans. But one of the things it talks about is how everyone gets a universal wage, and they actually tax the robots effectively, that companies who use them have to pay a tax for them, and that money then goes to pay people who are not working because they've got all this time on their hands.
So they're taxed out the savings they make on the labour costs, and you hope that the economics of it works. But there's also the question of, you know, some people believe we are not human beings, we are human doings. In other words, we are only happy and thrive when we work towards goals. And that if we remove work from people, are we going to be able to successfully give people a purpose or allow people to discover a purpose in their life, which is not about subsistence?
Okay, let's take a couple of calls. If you want to comment on this, do by all means. It's text 84850, and you can also call 0345 6060973. Thanks to Shane in Sydney, who says, that robot reminded me of the cartoon The Jetsons when I was a kid in the 60s. Yes, that was ahead of its time, wasn't it? Let's talk to Navid in Huddersfield. Hello, Navid.
Hi, how are you doing? Fabsy, of course, 15, what Apple has done with the Apple software is it is automatically learning from every single application that you are using, from your app to your WhatsApp Messenger, everything. You have to manually turn it off. Even Siri is learning from your interactions on how you use it. And also, Apple has made a piece of software, they didn't release it this year, that will automatically analyze your photos and videos to see pedophile content as well. Mm-hmm. So Apple really doesn't care about privacy, do they? And the reason I'm talking to you as a person is because I've been a techie since the age of 12. Unfortunately, I've been blind for 5 years.
I'm sorry to hear that, and I believe that some of these technologies may assist you. And in fact, interestingly enough, Apple and close behind it, you know, Google have got you know, quite good accessibility options on devices like smartphones and tablets that actually allow people who have visual problems to actually interact with the technology. To address the points that you make, let's start with them in a sort of random order. Apple announced that it was going to scan images on our devices against a database of known child pornography images, and if it triggered enough hits, that it would report those users to the authorities. Now, on the face of it, that sounds great. And Apple have actually rolled back from that and said, now let's have a conversation about that, because they realised that the idea of Apple reaching into our devices and scanning images on our devices is intrusive. So on the one hand, you know, you can say, well, you know, if you've got nothing to hide, you've got nothing to fear, why should you have child porn on your phone or your tablet? But on the other hand, that technology is easily put to other uses. The technology already exists, by the way, for scanning for pornographic images. You know that what they do is they make a database of codes, each code representing a known pornographic image, and I'm talking about illegal pornography here. And then they actually every time you scan a picture, it produces a unique code, and then you can check it against a database of known codes. It's a difficult problem, this. I'm not sure why they wouldn't have just scanned it in iCloud, so when users upload, because they said this was for people who were going to upload it to iCloud. Now, it probably would have been wiser for them to announce a scheme where they scan it, you know, in iCloud, but I suppose the danger there is that if people have encrypted it well before it goes up, they won't be able to see it. Now, in regards to iOS 15 and so forth, I mean, I don't think any tech companies got completely clean hands, and I didn't mean to suggest they did, but Apple's business model is very different to that of Google and Facebook. So Apple's business model is they make lots of money out of selling you very expensive pieces of hardware and add-on services, right? And that's how they make their money. Their business model isn't predicated upon monetizing the data that you shed as you use those services, right? Whereas Google's Android is, you know, it is a personal opinion, but it's essentially a piece of spyware. It's produced by Google. It's given away free to Samsung and Sony and other smartphone manufacturers to put on their system with certain conditions, that it has to have certain apps on there, as well as, you know, Google apps, as well as the Android operating system. And its whole purpose is to collect information about us. Facebook's business model is predicated on, you know, they don't, Facebook are not this company that just like to give us things. They want us to engage as much with the internet and screens as possible, because every minute we're on Facebook, we're yielding more information that allows them to target advertising. So there might be 50 people in the country that are interested in a particular hobby in a particular geographic location with a particular level of income who are heterosexual, let's say. So that sort of targeted information allows companies who want to advertise to target those groups using Facebook's knowledge about us. So again, its business model is predicated upon scraping data, you know, up that we shed as we go about our daily lives and monetizing it. And I think that's the difference, you know, and I really think that those business models have to go, they have to be outlawed, and companies have to be given time to move away from those harmful models.
Absolutely. Navid, thank you very much indeed for that. We'll come back with some more questions and comments. We're talking about robotics, artificial intelligence, and your data. LBC, good morning. 25 to 3, I'm with you till 4 o'clock, and we're talking with Fevzi Turkalp at the moment about robots and artificial intelligence. Here are some of the comments coming in. Joseph in Salford says, if people stop working, crime levels will rise because people will be more bored and find less purpose in their life, which I think is an interesting point. But it always used to be said, even when I was at school, people were predicting that we'd have all this leisure time and we'd be working less. And of course, the opposite so far has happened, but maybe it's just early days. Michelle says, hi both. I'm sure I'm missing the point, but everything you've described as being a new development sounded negative to me. Privacy issues, taking jobs away, etc. Why do people want this to happen? It sounds awful to me. And Mary says, I rewatched Terminator last night, which predicts that the robots will want to destroy us in 1997. However, it starts with a robot-led dystopia in 2029. With Boston Dynamics and now Astro, are we sowing the seeds of our own destruction? I'll put that to you in a second, Fevzi. And one other question here from Jim. Are all these robots made in China?
Not all of them are, no, but most things are made in China. So, yes, it's not so much who makes it as who owns the intellectual property rights to it once it's you know, up and running. I'm reminded that the late Professor Stephen Hawking talked about AI in particular as representing a huge existential threat to human beings. And I think I'm paraphrasing, but essentially he said that the only way we would survive eventually as the rise of AI was to get off this planet and run. Elon Musk, who is also very much involved in AI systems, has also made similar comments about AI being an existential threat. There is a team of scientists at MIT in the United States whose project it is, and has been running for some years, on what it is that we could possibly program into this generation of robotics and AI that would stop future generations of AI from wiping us out? And so far, the answer is not very much that we can come up with.
Mm.
Maybe they should be asking an AI the answer to the question. But
yes.
could you trust its answer? Look, this technology is coming, come what may. It's already on the way, and it is unstoppable. And the reason why it's unstoppable is because there are commercial and military ramifications to this technology. So several countries have pushed for a moratorium on AI-based weapons, from some self-piloting drones that can make the kill decision themselves. By the way, on the Korean border, there are already such weapons that will target and kill humans without human intervention. And they've been trying to stop it, but some countries like America and Russia are not doing that because it's an arms race, because they are fearful of being presented with a robot army against them, you know, robotic and intelligent armies. Because
I've seen it in the films.
These things, tend to emulate reality.
Yeah, they
sometimes
do.
Or I think so for this reason, it's an arms race in military terms. So each country is worried that its enemies will develop the technology and overwhelm it. And the same in commerce. So as I said to you, think about taxis. If a taxi company doesn't adopt self-driving technology, but its competitors do, then that taxi company may go out of business because its rides are going to be more expensive because they're going to have to pay for human beings. So the technology is coming, but that doesn't necessarily mean it all has to be bad. There will be great benefits to it, just a bit like the internet, right? There's huge benefits to the internet, and there's some really lousy things about the internet. Mm. It's kind of like a reflection of ourselves. The technology is agnostic.
Well, let's take some calls. Here's Norman in Lambeth. Hello, Norman.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning. Morning.
I'm a blind person.
Yep.
I'm not suitable to take a guide dog, and I would like an electronic guide device that could take me to my local gym, a brisk walk around the park.
Right, like a guide robot, really.
A guide robot, and take me down to my local chemist, and could recognise when I'm crossing the road, without necessarily me having to get a bus, because it would give me the exercise. I wouldn't have to test the people to get things for me, and I'd have a certain amount of independence.
Yeah, that would be a really positive idea.
It would take a lot of things to manage, but what does he think?
Yeah, I think that sort of companion robot is definitely on the way. It will be of limited use compared to a dog initially, but the trend is that they will become more and more capable. With each year that goes past, these devices will be more capable. And although those devices will be expensive, it's possible that you just like you can get certain aids from occupational therapy departments within local authorities, it may be that certain devices, because there are already mechanical devices available from bed turners to stair lifts and everything else, it's possible that these initially expensive devices will be provided if our economy holds up. I think as a adjunct to that, I'd also say one area that we haven't discussed, which is hugely important, is how we're going to care for our elderly in the future, because the demographics are, notwithstanding COVID, that we have an aging population. There are fewer able-bodied people to look after more and more people who are, in their later years who need assistance. And in both in the domestic environment and in care homes and in nursing homes, and there's a huge care crisis in this country and throughout the world. There are not enough carers available to look after a number of people. Initially, this technology is expensive, but it's already starting. In some countries, they use robots to dole out medication to people who are in nursing homes.
Is anybody developing it?
Yeah, it already exists, and they effectively like a smart medicine trolley. And one of the designs that I've seen has a screen on its chest, and what they've learned is if they show a picture of a loved one on the screen, the patient is more likely to accept their meds, which is kind of interesting as well.
Yeah,
how they how they manipulate our human weaknesses in a way. But that's going to be essential. I have no doubt at all that the future of care for us as we become old and infirm in some cases is robotic care. It is the only thing that can make any economic sense, because care is expensive, and the number of people that can that can give it. I mean, people pay thousands of pounds a week for their own personal care. If they have to pay for it themselves, it's extremely expensive for people who are dependent upon being hoisted. Imagine people who are being hoisted. Imagine if the hoist is intelligent. Imagine if it has the ability to put on the sling and hoist the patient. Imagine if it can do the medications without making errors. You know, it's because it's expensive. People who require a lot of care, no one can afford to do that. But the cost of robotics will fall. The cost of human labour will rise. And at some point, those two curves intersect and the robots become more.
Well,
more
at least there's a very positive use there. Norman, great call. Thank you very much for that. Let's do one more. It's Pierre in Cheam. Hello, Pierre.
Hi, yeah. I'm another blind caller.
Right. Welcome.
So, first, just a few sort of short comments, really. I mean, one, the AI film I grew up with was War Games.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think was a classic, beware of AI movie from my generation. And I just wanted to mention, I use an app called Seeing AI,
mm-hmm.
Which is, there's a few of these sort of things around. This one is a free one, well, quote unquote free. I think published by Microsoft. And I basically use that these days. I've got it working on a phone at the moment, on a smartphone. And I use it like I've been blind 4 years. I've got a big DVD collection at the moment and from before. And I just go through it. It's very, very simple. And I just use it to read, to try and organize my DVD collection. I point it at a CD or a DVD and I can put it in barcode mode. And it will read the barcode and hopefully tell me the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a Bitway document mode where you can point it at the thing and it will take a photo. It will tell you when you're pointing it roughly right, and it will take a photo, and then it will read the text it reads, and it's got a short text mode. So it's got like five different things, and it's pretty useful, but I don't keep it on all the time. I very much value human interaction, hence I'm phoning a radio station.
Mm-hmm.
And the other just short comment was, like, I'm reading a book at the moment written in 1914 or something. It's called Learning to Fly.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how people learn to fly and how flying is now becoming safer, and the interesting bit I came across was the author is talking about cars and trains, and he's saying, flying is becoming safer. It's not so gung-ho as it was. And there was an era where people would say, I will never, ever get on a train.
Mm.
And there was an era where people said, I would never, ever get on a car. And he said, things have changed with trains and cars a bit. People are getting a bit more adjusted to that. So he was, saying, well,
how interesting.
Maybe that will change as well.
Yeah, and so we'll probably get used to the robots as well. Very interesting, Pierre. Thank you so much for that. Quick comment here from Nikki as well, who says, hi, Clive. We have 6 Alexas, one in every room, and we've recently bought a robot vacuum cleaner. We use the Alexas all the time. She's great for reminders and listening to LBC in Wales. The Hoover works very well too, saves a lot of effort. We are total converts. So it's beginning to happen, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the thing is, as they become useful, the worry is that we will overlook the privacy and other aspects of them. But yes, because the Alexas are hugely useful. By the way, if you have one, ask it to sing the blues. It sings a great song, which it sings a song called "I Got No Body Blues."
There's a little tip. All right,
pun intended. I'll just share that with you as
Thank you. I'll try that as a nice goodbye. All right. Well, great to talk to you, Fevzi Turkup. You can get him on Twitter @GadgetDetective. Fevzi, thank you very much indeed.